Explaining football to the friend who's just there for the nachos? Hard. Tailgating from home like a pro with snacks and drinks everyone will love? An easy win. And with Instacart helping deliver the snack time MVPs to your door, you're ready for the game in as fast as 30 minutes. So you never miss a play or lose your seat on the couch or have to go head-to-head for the last chicken wing. Shop game day faves on Instacart and enjoy $0 delivery fees on your first three grocery orders. Offer valid for a limited time. Other fees and terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Money Movers provides investors with real-time analysis of the stories and the people attracting the attention of markets each day. I'm Carl Quintanilla.
And I'm Sarah Eisen. We'll cover the breaking news and numbers driving stocks and sectors, helping you make critical decisions. Plus, we'll speak with the CEOs, newsmakers, and political leaders playing a role in how your money is moving.
Listen to CNBC's Money Movers free on the Odyssey app.
And I also want to open up Twitter reactions brought to you by Scheiben Jewelers, Cleveland's premier jewelry store. Ken Carman chiming in from home, very firmly against the matching pajamas at the holidays, G. Bush. So,
Now, here's the thing. We talked about the, matching all that good stuff. But if Rosie would have wanted me to do it, I might have actually rethought it,
I'm guessing Ken
there is a difference there.
Because we said that, like, when you have the kids, you have the family, it's different. I'm guessing Ken is saying, like, no matter who is pitching this idea, he's out.
We know Liz.
Yeah, you say that. We know Liz.
That's not a thing. He's signing that peace treaty.
I mean, there are things you put out in public
that you just
do behind.
He's definitely not putting it on the Christmas.
Well, I mean, I'm just saying. Sometimes you say you're going to do one thing and then you do the other.
Reckless speculation.
We go out to the North Olmsted Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram hotline for our first guest of the day. He covers the Cleveland Cavaliers, part of the Locked On Cavs podcast. He's a colleague of ours here at the station. And I don't know if he's into wearing the matching Christmas pajamas or not, but Danny Cunningham joining us on the show. Danny, will you accept wearing matching Christmas pajamas?
I most certainly am not into that. That is not a thing that I look to do every Christmas time. I see Christmas cards where people have that. I've never understood it. It's not for me.
I like
Will that change
man.
One day when you have kids?
I mean, maybe. I can't predict the future, but like as of now, I don't see that happening. But I can't be like, I guess never say never, but I don't anticipate that being my life.
All right. We'll revisit this in like 5-6 years, whenever. We'll get
Or you'll just get the postcard in the mail. he didn't switch sides on us. Speaking of switching sides, man, Cavs get an opportunity to play the Golden State Warriors. And for a while, the Cavs and the Warriors had their little back and forth or whatever. I think that vitriol is gone and that ship has sailed a little bit. My partner over here, Spencer, likes to say that this might be the first marquee game that could really get a lot of eyes that'll really, you know, increase what the Cavs are doing, and people will tune in a little more, seeing that it is the Warriors and they have a great record. What are your thoughts? Do you think that the Cavs have already gotten a signature win this year, or is this the first opportunity to do so?
I think you can look at that Knicks game a couple weeks ago and say that's probably the first signature win that they had, because there is not nearly as much history between the Cavs and Knicks as there is with the Cavs and Warriors, but there is, you know, postseason history. The Knicks are an Eastern Conference rival, a team that I would anticipate the Cavs being battling with for seeding at the end of the year. So I would say that Knicks win probably is a signature win, but this is a really big opportunity for the Cavs, because you look at these two teams. Cavs obviously have the best record in basketball at 9-0, but the Warriors are 7-1. They're 5-0 on the road. They're coming off a win over the Boston Celtics. They're in a three-game stretch here where they play Boston on Wednesday, they play the Cavs tonight, and then later this weekend they go to Oklahoma City and play the Thunder. Like, there's not a more difficult three-game stretch in the NBA right now than what the Warriors have. But if the Cavs win this game and move to 10-0, I think even more eyes will be opened than already are. And I also think that it gives the Cavs a real opportunity to start thinking about going 14-15-0, because after this, they play Brooklyn tomorrow, and then they play Chicago on Monday. Wednesday, they've got Philly, but Philly's probably going to be without Joel Embiid and Tyrese Maxey for that game. Everything, this is the most difficult game the Cavs have for about another week. So not only is this an opportunity to open some eyes nationally that might not already be opened, but it's an opportunity to really extend this win streak pretty far.
You mentioned the national sort of perception of this Cavaliers team, and it's obvious that people are starting to pay more attention and take the Cavs seriously, and a win like tonight potentially maybe helps that even further. And people enter every season with expectations, from the fan base to people in the media and otherwise. At what point, if the Cavs kind of continue this run, and even if it's not an undefeated run, even if they get like a loss or two along the way here leading into December, at what point do you think that should the start to the season should alter expectations that people might have for the Cavs to maybe raise that bar?
I think we're already there. And I guess it kind of depends, Spencer, on what you thought the expectations for this team were going into the season. I personally was in the party that this year cannot be ruled a success unless the Cavs make the Eastern Conference Finals.
I'm with you. Yeah.
I feel even better about that right now. Like, it's a team that I expect to be competitive in the Eastern Conference Finals. And right now, and I know that the postseason doesn't start today. It's November 12th or whatever date today is. November 9th, whatever.
8th.
8th, there we go. Sorry.
Yeah!
I know that doesn't start today. I know there's a really long way to go. But there's not another team in the Eastern Conference, aside from Boston, that I look at and say the Cavs could lose that series right now. And there's a long way to go. But this looks like one of the best teams in the NBA. And if you just want to go to, I think one of the things that's really interesting is the Cavs were, their win total was 48.5 before the season at all the major sports books. And that's up to 53.5 right now. So that tells me that all the books are buying into this team too. And you go look at their odds as they were plus money. They were second behind Milwaukee to win the Central Division. They're like minus 300 to do so right now. Their odds have really jumped to win the Eastern Conference. Like, I think a lot of people are believing in this team, and there's no reason not to. Like, this is a team that should go on a really deep playoff run because they're legitimately good.
Well, I will say this. The thing that's most impressive to me has been what I've seen from Evan Mobley. You know, Coach talks about, you know, him getting the ball going with it, him being able to initiate offense, create offense, and just being more aggressive. You know, what have you seen in the maturation of Evan Mobley, and can he continue on his trajectory as we get through the rest of the season and playing in bigger games?
That aggressiveness is exactly what I think Cavs fans should be thrilled to see from Evan so far. And take Wednesday night against New Orleans, for example. I don't think Evan had a very good game. It was the first time he fouled out in his...
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress-them-on-the-third-date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Money Movers provides investors with real-time analysis of the stories and the people attracting the attention of markets each day. I'm Carl Quintanilla.
And I'm Sarah Eisen. We'll cover the breaking news and numbers driving stocks and sectors, helping you make critical decisions. Plus, we'll speak with the CEOs, newsmakers, and political leaders playing a role in how your money is moving.
Listen to CNBC's Money Movers free on the Odyssey app.
Career, I don't think all of those fouls were the best calls, and I think Donovan Mitchell does have a gripe about the way they've been officiated so far. But Evan finished, he took I think he was 7 of 16. It was not a great night for him offensively. But I think that speaks to him being aggressive, because last year, Evan Mobley only had 4 games where he took 16 or more shots. And even if it's an off night, I think him taking that many shots is very important for how the Cavs are offensively. And I think the Cavs realize for them to get to where they want to go, which is very deep into the playoffs, eventually this needs to be a team that that championship is the aspiration for. And maybe that's this year. They need Evan Mobley to be really good offensively. And the only way he gets really good offensively is if he continues to be aggressive the way that he has. So I think that's been one of the most positive things that we have seen about this team in the first 9 games. And I think that is the most important thing to keep going the rest of the season.
Danny Cunningham joining us on the North Olmsted Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline. Locked On Cavs, Cleveland Magazine, one of our colleagues here at 92.3 The Fan. Since we're on the subject of Evan Mobley, I know, Danny, that a lot has been said about Kenny Atkinson's ability to help him take this next step of his game. Are we giving enough credit, though, to Evan himself for the fact that he's kind of embraced this new role and is probably doing a lot of learning on the fly to accelerate his game to the level we thought he could?
Probably not. And I think a lot of it goes into what he did this offseason, because I think with that, this new aggressive mindset that Evan has showcased, I think a big part of that is because he did put in a lot of work this offseason. He just, like, looks different physically, right? He put on muscle. He looks like a stronger guy. And I think that those things very much have an impact on his aggressive mindset that we've seen. And listen, his jump shot, I think, looks better than it ever has before. And I think Evan Mobley deserves credit for that. I think Kenny Atkinson does deserve a lot of credit too, though. And I think that has been the correct thing to do, because he's been putting Evan in positions to be more aggressive. I think that he has tapped into that mindset for Evan, and he's made sure that he's able to be aggressive. He's made sure that he's getting to the basket. And watch when Evan does something really good on offense, whether it's a drive to the basket, whether it's a three-pointer, watch Kenny Atkinson's reaction, because his reaction, I think, is a little bit different when Evan does something really good versus when Donovan or Darius does something really good, just because I think everybody knows how important Evan is to the success of this team.
When you look at it, you know, right now Ty Jerome is another guy coming off the bench that's been a spark plug, been playing very well. Isaac Okoro shot the ball well and given some time. Caris LeVert shooting the ball well as well. You know, what have you seen from the bench group, and why have they been so successful? Especially you look at the other games, especially in New Orleans, some of the other games in Milwaukee, where you get those guys and they're able to come in on the road when the Cavs get down, they're able to give them that punch and that little spark to get them over the top.
I think they've been successful for a number of reasons. And one of them is I think that they're allowed to play a little bit more. I think they're allowed to play a little bit freer than they were last year. And I know we only saw Ty Jerome for 15 minutes all of last season before he really messed up that ankle pretty good and had to miss the rest of the year. But he's somebody that I wasn't necessarily counting on to be a big part of this Cavs team this year. He's been, I think, the most pleasant surprise of guys that are not part of the core four throughout this season with what he was able to do. Like, the Cavs do not win that game against the Pelicans on Wednesday night without Ty Jerome having the night that he had. Caris LeVert has been awesome. And I think part of it is the bench is playing more minutes than it has in the past. Right now, go back to that game I mentioned in New York like a week and a half ago. The Cavs might win that game under J.B. Bickerstaff last year, but if they do, Donovan Mitchell would have played like 41 or 42 minutes in a game at the end of October. Instead, Donovan Mitchell played like 33 minutes in that game, and the Cavs are able to rely on other guys. Right now, they only have 2 players averaging 30 minutes or more. It's Jared Allen, it's Donovan Mitchell. That's it, and they're like right at 30. That, I think, is a big difference from what this team has been in years past, where JB really, really, really heavily relied on starters. I think not relying on the starters as much has given the bench players confidence. And part of it is, too, like, Caris LeVert is shooting 56% from 3 right now. As much as I like Caris LeVert, and I think Caris LeVert's a really good basketball player, that's not going to keep up. I promise that number is going to go down, so that is part of it. But overall, the bench has been really good, and I think that the fact that Kenny Atkinson probably trusts them a little bit more than the previous coaching regime did is a big boost for that group.
As the Cavs are on this win streak, and it's obviously taken the league by storm, everyone's obviously noticing them now, I've seen some people, though, complaining about the fact that we still don't really see the Cavs being featured more on the primetime nationally televised games. Is that something you think could change schedule-wise if they continue winning the way that they are, that they maybe move some of their games to some of those prime spots?
Yeah, I absolutely do. As we get later into the season, if this continues up, I don't understand for the life of me why that Lakers game was not a nationally televised game. Every single time
they put like 20 LeBron, Lakers games a year on national TV, but they couldn't put that one. It made no sense.
Right, like they picked the Celtics Pacers game, which I get. It's a rematch of the Eastern Conference Finals, but LeBron only has so many opportunities left in Cleveland to play games. The Lakers had a lot of excitement around them this offseason. They always do because they're the Lakers. Every single time that happens, that game should be on national TV. I don't understand it. Obviously, nobody could predict that the Cavs would start off 9-0, but tonight's game not being nationally televised, where you've got two teams that are combined 16-1 facing off against each other, just it does feel like a missed opportunity. I do think that we will see this team flexed into some nationally televised games throughout the rest of the season. If they continue playing great basketball, I don't know when that can start happening. I'm not super familiar with the league's TV rules. I know everyone's more familiar with how the NFL works, how Sunday night games can be flexed and all that. I'm not super familiar with how that works in the NBA. I know it can happen, and I would expect that it does happen for the Cavs.
At Real D Cunningham on Twitter, Danny Cunningham joining us on the show. Some great stuff in regards to the Cleveland Cavaliers. He covers the Cleveland Cavaliers for Locked On Cavs, part of our team here at 92 The Fan and, of course, Cleveland Magazine. Danny, always appreciate the time, my man, and enjoy the game tonight.
You got it, guys. Have a good one.
This is the secret story of a young Russian oligarch who hacked his way to a $93 million fortune. I'm CNBC's senior Washington correspondent Eamon Javers. In our new podcast, The Crimes of Putin's Traitor, I'll take you inside a shocking Russian crime targeting the American financial system. Attacks that sources tell me were welcomed by Vladimir Putin's government. Listen to CNBC's The Crimes of Putin's Traitor free on the Odyssey app.